Yes, indeed. You're very welcome into the last hour of the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It's great to have you with us, and it's great to have with us as well Michael Leddy. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Greg.
Good
Hello.
Morning. How are you keeping? How was your
good.
Week?
It was a good week, busy week, not as busy as last week, and it was great to be out walking around in. I was just down to Caroline. Walking around in the sunshine, yeah. All very good.
What are you going
to
do next week?
Thank you for putting a pin in my balloon.
Yes, but there is some suggestion that it's start gonna, of June.
Yeah, it's going to
see a.
Oh, it's going to come back around again. Yeah, I'm optimistic. By the way, I believe we're going to have a great year. So I think this is only a few days.
But it depends.
A few days.
I heard a couple of people say they can't wait for winter again. The darker evenings, they like that. They can chill.
Did you give that person a slap?
I verbally slapped them. Obviously, Richard Crawford's business development and marketing manager at Green On Theatre in Letterkenny. Good to have you in with us, Richard. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Out and about, I like this. I like this part of it. Oakfield Park, the Donegal Festival of Food and Craft takes place tomorrow and Sunday. What's this all about? I've heard bits and bobs about it. I've seen some signage. It sounds like it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this. The food scene in Donegal is absolutely fantastic anyway. And Oakfield Park is just such a fantastic location for it. So all of the big hitters in the Donegal food scene are going to be there. So the two guys from Biddy's are going to be there. We have Chris from the Lemon Tree is going to be there, Brian from Number 9, but then also there is Rachel Allen's going to be there. So it's an absolutely fantastic couple of days up at Oakfield Park. Lots on for the kids as well. There's tours of the walled garden, and there's music and all throughout the weekend as well. So I think it's going to be a fantastic couple of days. So hopefully we can get the weather to hold on tight there so that we can all go and enjoy it.
Yeah, I haven't been to too many of them, and I'm not saying this is the same, but the last sort of food festival-y type thing I went to was down in Donegal Town, and it is a nice buzz meandering around the place. I don't think that runs anymore. It's not running. I don't know. Shouldn't say that, really. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But anyway, I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
But if it is, I will give it a good plug, and then that will counteract what I've just said. But no, it's a nice thing. Yeah. You know, it's a nice thing just to
of course,
yeah. Mill around in. And what a setting for Oakfield Park. That is this weekend, the 24th and 25th. You're still watching The Bear on Disney, Micheál.
I sure am, and I am still to finish Series 3, and I see Series 4 is dropping in June. This is one of those consistently provided streaming shows, because it pops up every year towards the last week of June. They're right. Extremely consistent. This is the show that has won every award going, and for my money, together with Slow Horses, I think it is the best thing on TV. I think it's absolutely perfect. I started season 3 a couple of weeks back, and again, the first episode alone, for me, was like a masterclass in filmmaking. The storyline of the series, for those who don't know it yet, and it's on Disney, and I would encourage people to go back and get it. The episodes are half hours, very easy to get into. A young man who's very successful as a chef and away in New York City returns to Chicago after the sudden tragic death of his brother to take over his brother's business, which is a much smaller restaurant, a kind of a scrappy kind of roadside kind of place. And we follow him as he tries to turn it around. It is definitely a toxic work environment when he arrives. Everyone has their own particular way of doing things, and they do not want him to turn things around. They're like a dysfunctional family is the best way to describe it. And over the first...
So it's relatable.
Very relatable. Did I mention Highland Radio? Sorry, was I saying that? I didn't mention you by name, did I?
No,
I apologise. I was just taking it as... So basically we get, for me and I think for the fans of the show, we become very emotionally invested in the characters and their journeys and the way they evolve and grow through season 2 into season 3. But also, objectively speaking, the filmmaking in the show and the craft of this show, I think, is absolutely superb. And I'll take the first episode of season 3 as an example. There was almost no dialogue. The scenes were all incredibly short. They were some of them like 5 seconds to 10 seconds. They jumped around in the narrative of what's established about the main character, Carmi. If you hadn't seen the first two seasons, you'd be lost completely. But it was all these little hidden moments that we hadn't seen, or there was an alternative perspective on things. It was an emotional journey in these flashes without dialogue, and it was incredibly rewarding for a fan of the show. And I think the third season then focuses on each of the characters in the ensemble through the through the run of the season. And season four is dropping in a month's time.
So it's all working out lovely
for really, you, really, yeah. I think for anyone who doesn't know the show...
It seems to be universally liked.
It is.
I think it's either your thing or it's not.
Yeah, of course.
And if it's not your thing, you're not going to watch it and critique it, are you? Yeah, it draws people that like it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's that thing where it's almost sometimes, like, almost very... It's close to documentary almost. I mean, the camera kind of follows people as they're bickering, arguing, running around the restaurant. And sometimes into their personal lives. So that's not for everyone. So, but for if you pushes your buttons at all, the sound of that, then I think this is the best of the best of what's available in that genre.
All right, it's on Disney. Have you watched this, Richard?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's just so beautiful to watch, I think. Like, there's some of the scenes, as you say, like, are just so intricate, but like, you're just like, I'm obsessed with food anyway. But
it was a great segue, wasn't it? Yeah, Greg planned it very well by going, well,
trying to see how we get to the next one. Go on ahead.
But yeah, just so beautiful to watch. And like, Ao Debray is just fantastic in it. As an honorary Irish woman, she's just a pleasure to watch on screen. But I have kept season three. I'm saving it up.
Yeah.
I want to wait till close to season four starting and then do a full haul of it, because I became obsessed with it. Like, I really, really became obsessed with the first couple of seasons, and then I missed it. I was like, I'm going to hold it now for a while.
It's a show that really hits you, doesn't it?
Yeah. But how long does a show the Christmas episode
of season two was like a hard one to watch, because it seemed to be, it was like traumatic to watch, never mind anything else. Sorry, Greg, you were
I was just going to say, how long does a show like that run for? Does it have a natural end? Can they keep going? Is it like effectively the longevity of a soap opera, or is it something that needs wrapping up? Or
I think we'll get to a stage where everyone is probably as healed as they're going to be. Yeah. I hope. I six seasons maybe, I'm guessing. I have no idea. I mean, four, and it's four now, and there's no word that I've seen of a wrapping up.
Well, why would they? I mean, it's so welcomed, especially for Disney, which doesn't have that many original jewels in its crown.
It's produced for FX, and FX shows like The Shield and Nip Tuck and those kind of things. That is a long litany of those kind of shows. Probably about seven seasons is kind of the contracts, I would imagine, behind the scenes. So I'm going to say seven.
Yeah. All right, is it H-O-M-E, Homey, Home?
Home.
Okay. It's a hip hopera, which, I mean, there's a couple of things coming up in the theatre, but this feels a little bit different, if you know what I mean. So talk to me about Home, the hip hopera.
Yeah, so first hip hop and opera kind of combination. It's by Fidget Feet, who is just phenomenal anyway. We've done a lot of work with Chantal before, but a lot of the work is like, kind of focused towards kids and schools and programming like that, but this is for adults, so it's really intricate. Some of the aerial work that they do in the show is just amazing. Like, before, when Fidget Feet have been with us at Ingridon, like, they've literally suspended themselves from the front of the building, so they put 150%.
And where are Fidget Feet based?
So she's based here in Ireland, but we have always done a lot of work with Chantal.
Yeah.
Like, as I say, this is her latest piece, but it's got hip hop, it's got opera, it's got aerial work, it's got a bit of theatre in there. There's just so much to it.
Yeah.
And I think something a little bit different as well. It's kind of in the middle of the Aerial Arts Festival as well, which is really, really nice, and it takes us into the Aerial Dance Festival.
Yeah. So this is coming up on July 19th, so there's plenty of advance notice in relation
to it.
Have you seen the show?
I've just seen the behind the scenes of it so far. Cool. I've seen the work that they've been putting in, and as I say, I'm expecting there to be an absolutely phenomenal performance.
And just in relation to a show like this, if we know it yet, is it a story told through hip hop and opera, or is it a series of, you know, performances, you know,
separate
as part of a show? Yeah.
It's almost like each performer is telling their part of the story, right, and their relationship with dance and hip hop, and then the opera is kind of like the accompaniment to that. So it's almost like you're getting a full performance, but you're getting to see everyone's
story. It's really interesting to talk to people coming out, because, you know, hip hop and opera are you know, they're at other ends of the spectrum here, right? But the whole thing about music and art is collaboration and how it works. And it'll be interesting to see the sort of the age demographic but also the reaction to the show. But you have to challenge people as well, don't you? I'm not saying this is out there, but you can't always play it safe in terms of what you put on stage. You have to sort of challenge the audience and say, you know, here's hip-hop opera.
Delivering something that you haven't seen before.
Well, that's it,
You've seen this before. Like, no,
but there's always a good buy-in.
Another hip-hop opera show. Yeah,
exactly, opera. but we generally have a good buy-in to this stuff, don't we, in this county and the surrounds?
Yeah, like...
You know, when I say this stuff, I mean... You know,
but adventurous,
exactly. You know, something in a different genre than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I think like we're not afraid to kind of go out and see new things, and like if there is something a bit more kind of to the left of the norm, I think we are encouraged to kind of to push that along a little bit more. I think
there's an audience. There is 100%.
There's an audience for it, and like especially for something that is like really unique. I think people want to see that whenever they're going to go out and they're going to spend their money. They want to see something that's different.
Yep. And again, a show like this is a talking point as well. It's something you chat about afterwards and you tell people about
it. Yeah, that's
it. Or you share the experience.
Right, that's the voice of Michael Eddy, very familiar to you, of course. Richard Crawford, his first appearance with us here on That's Entertainment. He's the Business Development and Marketing Manager at Hungry and on Theatre Letterkenny. What are you doing this weekend? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Maybe it's something you're looking forward to watching. It could still be the football. Maybe it's something on the TV. Are you going to the cinema? Or maybe you're just going out and about like Richard, going out to Oakfield Park. What are you up to? What are you going to do this weekend? It's a Northern Bank holiday, isn't it? I think.
I believe so.
I don't know what date it is anymore. I've had a busy couple of weeks.
If it's not directly affecting me, I don't care. No, that's not quite true. But let us know what you're doing for the weekend. 086 60 25,000. Mine's going to be pretty chilled, I think. Right, we're going to take a break. Back with more from Richard and Michael after these.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And just a reminder, if you're interested in securing a seat for Home Hip Opera, it's a hip hop opera presented by Fidget Feet. That's on in Hungary and on July 19th. And it was Richard Crawford who recommended that. Michael Eddy's with us as well. I just want to mention, by the way, that Donegal GEA, in association with the Donegal Dublin Business Network and Donegal Association, they're hosting a summer fundraiser barbecue in the Harcourt Hotel in Dublin next Wednesday. It's at 6 p.m. with Jim McGuinness as a special guest. Compare for the evening. I wasn't available. Compare for the evening is Donegal... No, I wasn't asked. Compare for the evening is Donegal TV personality Ciara Doherty. There's raffles and an auction on the night, and all proceeds to the Donegal GEA Teams Training Fund. Tickets are limited, so maybe you're going to be down in Dublin that evening. Maybe you're listening in Dublin, as many of you do, or maybe you just want to travel down and maybe avail of a midweek rate. Go down and support the Donegal GEA team and check out their social media channels for more. Sounds like it could be good fun. I just want to mention this because it's timely and it doesn't necessarily fit directly into this hour, but it does talk about us as a people and our community. And it reads as follows. I'm listening to your program as I get ready to fly to Perth to be with my son, who had a bad accident 2 weeks ago. And I think, you know, the two young lads who were injured in a workplace incident over there. And the caller goes on to say, but for the kindness of my community, for which I will ever be grateful to. That's how they're able to go. I would not be in this position. We cannot let our communities die as they hold us up when we need it most. We have exported our best young people to the other side of the world, and they too have a strong community there. They are world class at looking after each other when the chips are down. We live in a wonderful county of kindness. Indeed, we do have a wonderful county of kindness, and we have our differences and we disagree on certain things, and some of those views are quite polarised. But when the chips are down, we come together. And the one thing too, I've never been to Australia, but certainly having been to Dublin, which is pretty close to home, but certainly London, Dubai, there's a fantastic community of Irish and a great community spirit. And funny, what you see in the likes of London, Dubai, Perth, New York, wherever, where Irish are and sort of live close to each other, you see the traditional sort of community that used to be here. That we're losing to some extent. It is still there, don't get me wrong, but it's funny, that sort of old school community, you actually have to go to Dubai or London or somewhere else to actually see it. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Safe travels, and I hope your young lad, he's big and strong, and I'm sure he'll fully recover, and I really do, and I'm sure he will. And safe travels. I'm sure you're just dying to see him. Hi there, I'm part of the Highwayman Tribute Show playing in on Green on Theatre, Letterkenny, this coming Saturday night. We're really looking forward to getting back to Donegal. After, we're going to have to get on Green on to sponsor this. It's getting ridiculous. Is it?
We can talk after.
Am I talking about another on Green on show in this as well? I mean, are they going to start sponsoring it? No, I love it. I'm reading it out, but easy there, plugging everything left, right, and centre. There's another show coming up, and now I'm going to read this. Hi there, I'm part of the Highwayman Tribute Show playing in on Green on Theatre Letterkenny this coming Saturday night. We're really looking forward to getting back to Donegal after receiving the Hot Country TV Award for Best Tribute Act 2025 in Bundoran last month. Wondering, would you be able to give it a mention over the next couple of days? There you go. Thanks, David. More than happy to do so. I was chatting to Leo Sayer yesterday.
Oh, really?
He was on the programme, yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, he's 77 on Thursday, and then he spoke to us yesterday. He's coming to Ireland in July.
Cool.
And he looks fantastic. But what a nice guy.
Cool.
Like, I couldn't get him off the call. That's in the cool. nicest possible way.
I know what you mean, yeah,
like,
that's cool.
Because we were having a chat and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, do you want me to show you the recording studio? So we picked up the laptop, he went into the recording studio, and I says, brilliant, Leo, thank you for that. And then he says, and wait till you see this.
That's
and then
lovely.
He walked over and he had a poster from the Cork Opera House, is it? What is it, Cork? What? Anyway, the venue down in Cork he played decades
ago.
The
Cork Opera, yeah.
And he's coming back. I think he's playing that venue again. But such a lovely, normal person.
Yeah, good. That's good. That's good to hear.
You know?
Yeah.
And recognises that he is who he is because of the public and his relationship with them. Has anyone watched anything funny on Netflix? I just want funny. Something to make me laugh. I don't watch comedies per se, either, you know, short format half hours or... very rarely films. I just find them very hit and miss, a bit like horrors, if you know what I mean. I think
comedy is difficult.
I think you have to watch 200 before you get one that you like. I don't know. You're the king of the, I mean, normally
I'm not sure if they're on Netflix.
Canadian.
I recently rewatched the Naked Gun films on in light of the fact that the new ones coming out. I watched all three of them.
Yeah.
Are they on Netflix? I couldn't tell you. But I mean, I found them. I knew the first one by heart because I've seen it so many times. I'd almost completely forgotten the third one, and yet I would say it's probably the best. Maybe because I had forgotten so much of it. But I laughed.
Is OJ in the third one?
He's in all of them.
Is he?
He's the regular. Yeah, okay. He's like one of the sidekicks. Mm. He doesn't have a lot to do, but he's there. He's there throughout. Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting reference to OJ in the trailer for the new one as well. It's a gag from the film. But they hold up and they're very funny.
One of the greatest laughs I ever had, and I don't know why it tickled me as it did, but there's a joke about taxidermy in it.
Yes. Yes.
And it is of a time.
Yes.
The phraseology is not as common quite as much as it is now, but
no,
my word.
It was funny.
I think I was watching it in front of my parents and I just thought, I get this joke. And I just laughed, you know. Has anyone watched the Rose and Fred West documentary? Yes, I did. It's such a familiar story. Such a familiar story that it's shocking and it's horrendous. I don't think it advanced it anymore. If you're not familiar with it, it's
then
entertainment as much as a show about the subject matter can be. But I watched the three episodes and...
it's grim.
It is grim.
I haven't seen this show,
but you
it's
know
a grim
yourself,
story,
yeah. It's a peculiar situation we find ourselves in, is we're watching it to entertain ourselves, even though the subject matter is horrific.
Mm.
But it is.
Yes.
It's very well put together. Good access to the key players. A bit of audio that wasn't around before. Well worth watching. I enjoyed it as much as you can.
Enjoy
as much
something
as you
like that. Yeah.
Can enjoy something like that. Podcasts. No, yeah, we did The Bear with you. Back to podcasts with you. We'll do a podcast if that's okay, because you're a bit of a listener. Real Survived Stories sounds interesting.
Yes.
What's this about, Richard?
It's one of my favourites now. It's hosted by a guy called John Hopkins, and he has just this really captivating voice, and I think that's half of the one for this.
Mm.
But it is exactly as it says in the tin. It is real survival stories. So it follows along with like the most extraordinary stories that you can possibly ever imagine happening, and it catches up with the people who have actually survived. Some of them sound absolutely made up, but they are just absolutely phenomenal. As I say, it's kind of an injustice nearly to describe the host as a host. He's nearly like a narrator. It's like you're listening to like a really well put together audiobook a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the stories are phenomenal. And one I do have to, like, if you're going to give it a go, I'd say it was the first one I listened to, because you don't have to listen to it in order. It was called Swallowed by a Hippo, and it followed a story on the Zambezi River. And When I tell you, if someone see me listen to it in the car, I was like screaming. I was like, what? Like, it is just absolutely phenomenal. And like, as I say, the way it's put together, the way it's produced is just really, really captivating. So I'd say definitely give it a listen. But if you want to try it out, go after the Swallowed by a Hippo story.
Okay.
Like, I want to know what's the next one. That's number one, what's number two?
Some of them aren't, like, some of them are just very kind of good stories, yeah. But some of them
are. And it's global, obviously, from that example. Like,
global,
it's
not
just,
yeah.
So it's anywhere. No, there was the Dan at the.
down at the Swilly.
Down at the Swilly, and someone was fishing.
I remember.
They were swallowed by a hippo, so yeah.
I remember Dole mentioned that one even.
It's a local production.
Yeah. Do remember now, yeah.
It's a local production indeed. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Generally, podcasts are available on all platforms.
Yeah, that's
they?
Available everywhere you'd listen to your usual one.
It's just BBC Sounds or Spotify for me. I don't know.
Yeah, Spotify it's would on be there first. And Podbean as well if I can't. But yeah, Spotify my first port of call, yeah. It's really good to get
me. Because the majority of mine are listened to whilst travelling.
Yeah.
And I generally don't download, I stream.
Yeah.
So I find Spotify works best in adjusting the download space or buffering it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas BBC Sounds, as soon as you lose your internet, you lose it.
You lose it, yeah.
But Spotify, I think it must have a different way of doing it, so that's why I prefer it, though you get ads.
Yeah, I think they've... Yeah,
when
you're
are
they
going to take BBC Sounds away? Because they've been threatening for ages and it's still there, like...
That's like RTE Gold. I mean, RTE Gold has been dying for the last decade. It's been dying for a decade.
Yeah, but BBC Sounds now is going to be Britain only, UK only.
Ah.
They're geo-blocking it.
There are ways around that.
I know, but I ain't putting VPNs on and in my phone because then, you know yourself.
Yeah, I know it's that, yeah.
And then it confuses all my Google Maps and traffic and all that kind of stuff.
You're looking for directions.
But
it thinks you're like, yeah.
Yeah, but it confuses everything. But yeah, okay. But it's still threatening to go, but it hasn't gone yet, which I suppose is not too bad. Right, so that's a podcast called Real Survival Stories, hosted by John Hopkins. Why is that name familiar? Is it because...
appeared in Midsummer Murders, if I recall, many moons ago, and he's got like a really recognisable voice, but he does a few other podcasts as well, he has appeared in Midsummer Murders.
Well, maybe it's just a medical John Hopkins medical thingamajig as well. Maybe that's what it's actually reminding me. I know it's completely unrelated, but I think it's, I don't know what it is.
I might try one of them, actually. I'm just writing it down.
Yeah, write that down. Write that down on your phone screen.
Yes, indeed.
You mean type that down?
What did I say, right?
Write it down.
Fair enough, yeah.
Semantics.
I know, sometimes when I'm teaching, I teach iPad classes, and sometimes I say to people, click on that. Click. No, you don't click anymore. The mouse is long gone. It's just, I'm stuck.
I will give you click above writing.
I'm stuck in 1997. I'm just clicking everywhere.
They've got no more young, relatable people could do this teaching than no.
That hurts. But I will pain and get us to 12 o'clock and then I'll cry outside afterwards.
You 2.5 minutes to pull yourself together. Back with more after these. All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. It's the last hour of the week, which means it's That's Entertainment. We've been out and about, indoors, been listening to podcasts. We've been at it all in the company of Michael Leddy, writer and blogger, and Richard Crawford, who's business development and marketing manager at An Ghrianon Theatre in Letterkenny. Megan Rush, the youth worker with the Donegal Youth Service. Good morning, Megan.
Morning, Greg. How are you on this lovely Friday? Weather's broken.
Ah, but sure, it'll be back. It'll be grand. We need a bit of water on the lawns and grass and whatever you have.
True.
Right, it's 10 years since the historic marriage equality referendum. I think it was the first time you're breaking up a little bit there, but I think it's the first time by public consensus that such a decision was made. So there's a day of celebration coming up, Megan. What's happening?
Yep. So we are doing a wee event just to commemorate, because like you said, Greg, it is historical. We're the first country in the entire world to publicly vote for gay marriage, for marriage equality. We are the 20th country worldwide to do it. So we think it's important to mark this occasion. I'm a youth worker with Donegal Youth Service. I work with the Breakout Group, a wee group dedicated to supporting LGBT young people in Donegal. So we'd be remiss to let this occasion pass without acknowledging it. We're doing a wee event in An Ghrianon Theatre today from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Open to everyone. There'll be live music from young people who participate within the youth service. There'll be refreshments. There'll be speeches from people who participated in getting that vote for the country. So it'll be a lovely wee day. Loads of snacks, loads of biscuits, tea, coffee, the works. And it'll just be a nice wee day. Lots of art from the young people on display. A timeline of the journey towards marriage equality. Photos displaying people in the community within Donegal. So it's very much a community event.
Yeah, and it runs for the 2 hours, as you mentioned. Yeah. But you don't necessarily have to be there from the beginning to the end. You can go in and sample. You know yourself, if something's in Ungreenon, people feel it. There's a start time and a finish time. But this is more casual, isn't it? You can go in and out as you see fit.
Yeah, very open, very much a drop-in. Come in and go as you please, hang about, get a cup of tea, listen to some people, have some chats, and if you will feel like that's enough for you, by all means, do not hang around. Very much a drop-in, yeah.
Okay, and that's today?
That's today.
All right, okay, so get along to that if you so wish. Thank you very much indeed, Megan. Now, Fanad Gael's Senior Ladies Fundraiser. The Senior Ladies are holding a pop-up shop for new and pre-loved items of clothing to raise funds for Comórtas Pailín Gaeltachta All-Ireland Finals. Anyone who would like to donate items, they have to be in great condition, as you can imagine. We have a contact number for Kate here, and the ladies will be promoting sustainable fashion in their one-day pop-up thrift shop. While promoting good practice, the team hopes to raise funds for their forthcoming trip to the All-Ireland I know exactly what I'm trying to say. Shannon, Comórtas Pailín Gaeltachta, is that right? No, what is it then? I've said this a million times. What is it? Huh?
Pella, like Ella with a P.
Comórtas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Comórtas.
Pella.
But I just said Pella, so I was there.
Yeah, but that's Paella.
Paella. Right, we're not having Paella, though that sounds nice. Pella?
Pella.
Comórtas Pailín Gaeltachta finals in County Meath. It's all right. This is pre-recorded. We can cut that out. Thanks for that, Shannon. I'll cut that out. I'll just put that marker on the recording. Right, so come and browse through the items for sale. Enjoy a cuppa and buy some home baking from their cake stall. So where is it? It's in the Old School Community Centre, Kerrykeel. It is tomorrow and runs from 11 to 3 p.m. So maybe you've got some good clothes that are tucked away. Maybe they're out of fashion, maybe you just don't wear them. Apparently getting rid of old clothes from your wardrobe's very therapeutic, so you could be doing yourself a favour there. And if you'd love them to be loved again, I've got a number here for Kate. And of course, washed, dry cleaned, ready to hang, pressed, you know yourself, and leave them ready for sale. Formal, casual wear, as long as it reaches a standard resale quality. They're very keen on not getting tatty. And quite rightly so, just reiterating that we don't want your tat. But if you want to support the ladies in their efforts, why not? And it's great to see stuff being reused and all that kind of stuff. We don't have to worry about your carbon footprint for clothes anyway. You've had that same T-shirt on
you
for 6 years.
You said getting rid of stuff from the world was therapeutic. I wouldn't know. I've never done that.
But apparently it is. You know, if you haven't worn it for a certain amount of time, you know, you're never going to wear it again.
True enough.
6 months. So. Yeah. But apparently it's like ridding yourself of stuff. Not just the physical, but the emotional.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Well. It does make sense. I agree with you.
On quite some time ago. Right, okay. So just to remind you, 4 to 6 p.m. this afternoon on Greenon Theatre. It's a celebration of 10 years of marriage equality. They're going to have special guest speakers from the Yes Equality campaign, music and artwork, refreshments provided. So you don't have to be there from 4 to 6. It's laid out in such a way you can go in and see a performance or a reading or listen to a speech or whatever. Right, okay. Murderbot on Apple.
Yes, this is brand new. This is brand new. Two episodes dropped this week and I was all over them because I had seen the trailer and I had a feeling I would enjoy this.
Okay.
And I was not disappointed. Murderbot is based on a series of books that I never heard of. And there are 10 half-hour episodes, bite-sized, and two, as I say, have dropped. Apple do that thing where they drop one episode a week. So it's going to be running now through June and into July, which I think is a great way forward. I think it's the way to do things. I'm not a big fan of binging.
You
don't have to binge, but then you're behind. You know what I mean?
Just put it up and let people watch it. They're just
Then you're like, everyone's chatting about it.
I know.
But it has to be about me.
But it's not for you. Yeah. They're doing it for them.
And the other thing about, I'm ignoring him now. Another thing is, Apple tend to have the best shows. Like For All Mankind is on there, Severance is on there, Slow Horses. They have the best shows, if you ask me.
They have the money.
And money is all over this show as well. And this show, it's like another show on my list. It's basically Resident Alien, but instead of having an alien, it's got a robot. And it's exactly the same show. And I'm not saying that in a negative thing. Mm. It starts off very cleverly, I feel, and it starts off with a scenario we've seen before, and it's something that we've all, it's a trope we will recognise. We're in the far future, right? And it's a populated galaxy, all these different races, all these different planets. And we have a sec unit, a security robot, and he's on a mining colony, and he narrates the action. So the opening scene sets the story brilliantly. He's in the middle of all these humans, these miners. They're having, they finished their shift or they finished their term, and they're all just having this mad party, running around, drink and smashing things. And he's just fed up of it. Mm. He does not like any of this. His narration makes it clear that he has a very poor view of humans. He just can't stand us for various reasons. But he also explains that he has been working furiously to crack what's called the governor control, which prevents him harming humans or doing certain things. There's a lot of things he's forbidden to do. He's like a human. He's based like him. He's got a helmet instead of a face. We don't know what's under the helmet till late in the story. But he's just standing there, and they're actually setting his hand on fire at one point just to amuse themselves. And he's like, can't do anything about this. Mm. Gotta just take it. And then he cracks the code. He breaks his programming, that his core programming, and suddenly he's like, I can do anything now. Mm. I can kill every one of them because he's super powerful. He's like a killing machine. His job is to protect them, but now that that's being taken away, he can kill them, take a ship. He renames himself Murderbot because he doesn't like to be called Sec Unit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever he's called. And then, which is what I love, he then decides, well, what am I going to do if I do that? Like, I'm not actually going to do that. I'm going to kill all these people. Get away with that. Mm. But what he can do is he now has access to the entertainment channels. And so he starts to binge soap operas. And we get to see these awful shows that he's watching. And he just becomes this sort of sarcastic, mean-spirited robot. There's something wrong with him. He's rented from the miners. The core story starts then very quickly, where scientists who have arrived on a deserted planet, apparently deserted, have been forced to bring him along. He doesn't like them. He calls them hippies, hippie scientists. He can't stand them, but he is going to protect them if they listen to him. They know there's something up with him. They think he's a bit weird, but they have to have a security robot. There are some action sequences which are brilliant.
It looks fantastic.
It looks amazing. Apple have really thrown money at this. It's really funny. Really, really, really funny. But it's also getting a lot of praise. I mean, it's high numbers on Rotten. I think it's 98 on Rotten Tomatoes.
So what is it, though?
The key thing is that it's...
No, I know what it is. Sorry. Yeah, it's, you know when you sort of say things are funny and all? It's, yeah, it's clearly not a comedy, though.
It's a comedy drama. It's, right, comedy, okay. It's like comedy drama sci-fi action is how they describe it. Yeah. What it's getting a lot of praise for is the main character, who's described as both agender and he's like on the spectrum. He's like he has difficulty making eye contact. He's just he's a fascinating character that a lot of the demographic, I think, will connect with. Mm. There's romances among, there's good six or seven scientists, and there's like romances and things happening. He's not into any of that stuff. He's completely outside of that, and he just wants to be left alone to binge watch soap operas. When things go down, he can really, I mean, he's a killing machine, so he can defend these guys, and there are monsters, big spoiler, not spoiler, but there's monsters on the planet, there's stuff happening. And by the end of episode 2, we realise there's a conspiracy, there's something being hidden. The planet that is deserted might not be deserted. Parts of the map that they were given have been blacked out.
Okay.
And when they start to investigate, we see something that is very ominous, very ominous.
And you want to see what happens
next. But it's funny, it looks really expensive. It's a lot like Resident Alien in the best possible way, because we are privy to the thoughts of someone who can't stand humans, but at the same time, I can predict that over the run of this, like Harry on Resident Alien, he's probably going to learn to tolerate and maybe grow a little bit as time goes. But he's a fantastic character. It's a really good show. Solid 9 for me for the first episode, and maybe 8, 8.5 for the second episode. I was laughing, and I was just I wish there was a third episode to watch tonight and a fourth episode tomorrow night, and I'd do
you
it.
You mean
that
you
way.
Wish you could binge it?
That's not binging. Binging is
just says I'm
not about binging.
I'm complex, Greg.
Oh, you are.
I am complex.
Complex are all
complex.
Greg, I've got 3 big bags of perfectly good teddy bears and stuffed animals. Is there a children's charity that make good use of them, or anyone looking for something for a fundraiser? So 3 bags, big bags of perfectly good teddies and stuffed animals. Get in touch with us. We'll put you in touch with that listener. Greg, could you read this out if you had time before you finish up? Drumkeen United Football Club invites the people of Drumkeen and surrounding areas to come and join us for an hour at any time during this weekend's Relay for Life. So Relay for Life kicks off on Tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the ATU in Letterkenny. There's loads of parking. It's a wonderful atmosphere. You can go in and walk around and chat to people. And there's some very special events taking place over the course of the hour. There's entertainment all day Saturday from 4 and then all day Sunday until close. Danny O'Donnell's doing a concert on Sunday, and we know that he's recently announced that he's taking a break from touring next year. So you're getting actually a free concert for Danny O'Donnell, effectively. Get along to that, because you might not see him on the road until 2027. And also too, Sinead Black singing there. David James is going to be there. Callum Keaveney is going to be there. There's a whole host of brilliant artists across all different genres. The Survivors Orchestra is performing, of course. You've got the Letterkenny Ukulele Orchestra. And on it goes. There's so much entertainment. And it's just as, even though the subject matter is about raising money for cancer, remembering those who we've lost from cancer, or even supporting and celebrating those that survive and continue to thrive, it is a joyous place to be. So if you have any time on Saturday or Sunday, please go along and support them. Don't be discouraged if there's their odd shower about. You will be grand. What are you made of, sugar? Is a question, and I'm sure you're not. 086 60 25,000 if you want to comment or mention anything. Morning panel, Andor has to be the best Star Wars TV show created, especially as it is a prequel to the Rogue One movie. Rogue One also the best Star Wars movie since the original three. It must be lovely when you love something and then something drops and it just fits into exactly what you want to watch. All right, I'm going to take a break and then we're going to come back with another from Richard Crawford, who's with us as well. He's the Business Development and Marketing Manager at Angry and on Theatre Letterkenny. A caller says, I'd love the teddy bears. We've already found home for the stuffed toys. Isn't that cool? I'd love the teddy bears for Team Hope. Shoeboxes. All right, Jane, we're going to put you in contact with that listener, and that listener has got those lovely toys, a new home, which is lovely. I suppose we're probably going to have to do another thing from Hungrian, aren't we, really?
Oh, no.
I'll allow you to pick one of the remaining two.
I'm going to talk about Mosh. Yeah. Myself and Michael were just talking about this a little while ago. So it's a dance show, technically, but it has a million other things to offer. So just to kind of talk you through how it works. So as you're going into the auditorium, you're given earplugs because the show is super loud, but it's loud on purpose because they want you to feel the actual music.
Oh, right, I get you. Right.
I've been to a show similar to this earlier this year and it does make all the difference. Like, you really pay attention, you really concentrate on the show. But moshing is, as the title suggests, about moshing.
So are these like mosh pits that you would see in concerts where, you know, everyone's standing around orderly and in seats, and then the mosh pit
just erupts.
It's just okay.
So there's five dancers on stage, and they're basically moshing out to a live band. There's a live band on stage. The music is heavy metal. It's ways towards that. But every so often, the dancers break the fourth wall and like, speak to the audience and tell their stories about what moshing means to them and what the community is, because it is like a subculture.
Okay.
It is this thing that a lot of people from the outside, myself included, would be like my worst nightmare. I was like,
but it's not accidental.
Really,
people, this is how people enjoy their entertainment. Get into that mosh pit.
That's it. Like, and for the people who really love it, like it is like a part of the enjoyment of the concert. So this show kind of delves into that in a big way. But sound and lighting are a massive part of the show. And again, with the sound, like the big thing is putting those earphones in, so you almost feel secluded in the show. It's very insular because you're not kind of distracted by anything else. You're very much concentrating on what's happening on the stage. But
did you say earplugs or earphones?
Earplugs.
Right, okay.
So and it's to dull the sound a little bit, because the sound
still
is so loud.
You still feel the vibration.
Those,
okay.
And it takes the experience to a different level, and like the quality of the dance that we've had this past year especially has just been phenomenal. This show is just really, really interesting. It's really cool. Again, it's not for the faint of heart, because as I say, the music is pretty hectic.
Do the audience sit in the seats as normal?
Sit in the seats as normal, the dancing is super intense.
Okay.
Like it really, really is. Like, they've got some really cool snippets online for it if you want to check it out. But it just just kind of like delves into something that is probably very misunderstood, I think, from the people who don't understand it. But this show kind of tries to explain that a little bit more to people, and so that they have a better idea of what it is.
Yeah, there's probably not grey areas in moshing. No. You're either in it or you're outside it. I don't think you sort of go, I'll mosh for the first three. Yeah.
Let's give this
I'll
a
have
go.
A mosh for the first three songs.
Half-hearted
and
mosh.
Yeah.
That's it. Going along, yeah.
It's dip a toe in. Really.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, and it's huge in rock music. It is even just beyond what we know as the mosh pit.
Yeah,
it is. It's a level of organisation to it. I'd say back in the day with the mods and the punks and all that kind of stuff, it was all elbows and headbutts, wasn't it? I think it's slightly more refined nowadays. All right, that's coming up on July 5th in on Greenon. Yeah. Again, it's another one that sort of challenges a little bit. Challenges a little bit.
More different.
A little bit different. Resident Alien, you've already talked about this.
I've talked about it a little bit. And I'll talk about it, I suppose. But I'll say another thing about Murderbot, because I left out something important, which might answer one of your questions, and it might kind of help sway people. Looking at the credits of the two guys who are behind this, writing, directing it, interesting. They were the guys responsible for the first American Pie movie.
Okay.
They also did the About a Boy movie. Remember that with Hugh Grant? Great. Mm. And there, one of them was behind, was the writer of Rogue One, which is the highly acclaimed Star Wars. So that that eclectic mixture kind of actually explains what Murderbot
kind
is.
Kind of sounds a little bit like the crossover with the boy Seth behind Family Guy. You know,
Seth MacFarlane. Yeah.
Comedy sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah, because he does The Orville, which is an amazing show as well.
But it's played pretty straight.
Played completely, yeah, exactly. There's humour in it, but it's as much humour in that as there is in Star Trek The Next Generation, you know?
Murderbot looks very much like that Tom Cruise film, what's it called? You know, where he keeps doing the same thing over and over.
Oh, Live, Die, Repeat.
No, I don't know what it's called. But anyway, it has that. It's really glossy. It's got a full-on Hollywood.
I think
Hollywood.
Live, Die, Repeat was the promo, but the film was called something else. Something to, they should have called it Live, Die, Repeat. Everybody debates about that online. They misnamed the film.
That's if you're English-speaking. We were talking about Emily Blunt was in it.
Yeah.
The foreign titles for films are quite hilarious. But yeah, it has that look. It's very polished, and it is clearly obviously green screen and stuff.
Oh yeah, but
you were talking too about films though. I mean, I was listening during the week about Donald Trump. He announced the defense system for the United States, the Golden Dome,
right,
or whatever, and it just sounds like the opening credits to Terminator. I mean, Golden Dome, artificial intelligence, what could possibly go wrong here? It feels like
we're living in one of those.
It feels like we're moving into those,
Full tilt,
Terminator.
Yeah, unfortunately,
and someone's gonna have to be sent back. Someone might turn up here and go, oh, by the way, do you remember what you were saying?
Don't switch that on. Don't turn that on.
All right, okay. Do you get to watch much TV, Richard, or is all your time taken up, I suppose, with you know, you're obviously engrossed in theatre and what have you, and then
I think the only thing I do outside of work is watch TV.
Oh, right.
And there is some just amazing shows on at the moment, and one I do want to talk about is Poker Face. I don't know if you guys have watched it.
Oh my gosh, have you seen the new?
Yeah. So I'm not entirely up to date. I've watched a few episodes, but just to kind of give you the premise of it, it stars Natasha Lyonne, who is absolutely phenomenal. People recognise her from Orange is the New Black. She's one of the big characters there. But she just
Russian Doll,
which was a phenomenal show.
Fabulous show.
But she oozes cool anyway.
Totally.
She's just the coolest. But
even watching her on chat shows, you know, when she's on those late night chat shows, she is. That's exactly who she is. The character she plays is who she is.
Yeah, you wanna be friends with her.
Yep.
But the whole kind of concept of the show, it's like a mystery series, but Natasha Lyonne's character is a human lie detector who basically ends up solving crimes each episode.
Okay.
I love it because it kind of has an old murder mystery feel to it each episode. So there's season one done, complete, and it's up on Now TV, but season two just started 4 weeks ago, I think, now. So I think we're heading on to episode five. Episodes are coming out every week. But some of the performances are just phenomenal. well, and the guest stars are outstanding. They've had Adrian Brody, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Chloe Sevigny. Like, they've just
top tier guest stars.
Really good.
What is entertaining beyond the premise, which is really quite simple then, and perhaps something we've seen before? So what makes it stand out? So is it her?
I think for me anyway, and Natasha's performance is just phenomenal. Mm. She's such a likable character. As I say, it kind of has that little lean into...
Columbo is a big influence.
And again, how it's shot is just beautiful. At times, I almost feel it feels like a little bit of a Wes Anderson film where there's these really kind of like dramatic scene changes. But
And it's the guy who does Knives Out, Glass Onion... It's that caliber.
And have we seen self-contained episodes, or is there a thread runs through them? There isn't.
So each episode has its own unique story, but they are kind of like Natasha's character kind of pulls that story together. It is great. Like Simon Helberg from The Big Bang Theory played Howard's in it as well as an FBI agent in season one.
Brilliant.
Like, there's just so many familiar faces. Yeah. Season 2, episode 1 has Cynthia Erivo in it. She actually plays 5 different characters in that episode. It's just really, really intriguing. It's a really easy watch as well, I will say. Do you know, like, you don't it's not a big heavy hitter. It's very enjoyable.
And funny, both of you said too about Natasha Lyonne, that she is a character herself.
Yeah,
she's not playing, you know, a lot of the audience don't feel she's playing a character. They just feel like, which is, there's not many people like that, is there, really?
So I agree. When you watch her again, if you see her being interviewed on Colbert or something like that, she just, that's exactly who she is. She's just, some of the stories she tells from real life about parties and things, you're like, wow. She's living the life.
And I just think that's like half of the one for this is just that she is just so enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
Like, her personality is just fantastic.
Yeah. Great show.
Definitely worth a watch.
It's like 3 years since the first season. It's crazy.
Right, that's popped up on. I must have a look at that because it has popped up. Right, that is Poker Face. It's on Now TV and there's new episodes every Thursday. Richard suggested you can get along to the Donegal Festival of Food and Craft. There's a couple of great shows, Home and Mosh, coming up in the theatre. Real Survival Stories from John Hopkins, very entertaining, we're told. The Bear on Disney, you know, many of you love that. And Michael is amongst them. Murderbot's a new show on Apple. There's a couple of episodes out now. And of course, we didn't talk about Resident Alien Season 3, but
it's hilarious. It's on Netflix too. I had it down for Sky, but I looked it up. So that person who was looking for a comedy, it's hilarious. And there's two seasons, I think, on Netflix.
So your error, in a way, turned into a win. Fantastic stuff. Okay, brilliant. Michael Eddy, thank you very much indeed.
Brilliant.
Lovely having you on the show. Richard Crawford, great to have you up.
He's
business development and marketing manager at On Green on Theatre, Letterkenny. Certainly earned your money in terms of marketing today. So thanks very much indeed for that. That's where we leave it on the 9 till noon show for another week. Have a lovely weekend. We're back with you Monday at 9. Stay safe though and stay tuned.